Good morning. What do you think a good Christian looks like? If you think about that question a minute, you probably have some sort of image in your mind about what you'd expect a good Christian to do, what they look like, how they dress, how they spend their time, how much they help out with church activities. Do they have a model family with 1.8 perfectly behaved children? Sometimes that can go a step further to saying, do they look like us? In any community, and unfortunately the church is no exception, there's a tendency to judge someone's suitability by how similar they are to those who are in the community already. Well, in this passage, James has three things to say about this subject. The first thing, and one of the things this passage is probably best known for, is that actions matter. It's not good enough just to say we have faith, we believe. That needs to show itself in action. James says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? We have a saying, actions speak louder than words. That's not quite what James is saying here, but it's along the same lines. More of that in a minute. The second thing, which might at first sight look slightly contradictory to the first, is that if we're trying to be a good Christian through the things that we do, then the yardstick we're trying to meet is incredibly high. Verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. In other words, it's not good enough just to keep the bits of the law that we think are important, whichever you think those are. There's a lot of, the smaller rules matter too. Even if you are that person who fits other people's image of what a good Christian looks like, James says that if there's one thing where you fall short, then all that other stuff doesn't mean anything. It's really hard to live up to that standard. So hard, in fact, that only one man in history has actually done it. A man who was himself God. But third, there's a specific thing that James has in mind where he thinks the people he's writing to are falling short of God's standard. And at first sight, it doesn't look like such a terrible thing. Their problem, he says, is one of favouritism. They treat some people, the rich and powerful in their community, one way, and those who are less well off or maybe don't fit their image of what a good member of the community should look like, they treat them in a different way altogether. Now, there's one part of this that's understandable. James was writing to Jews who were living outside their homeland, who were facing persecution for following Christ. That persecution often came from rich and influential people in the community. And it's understandable. I've seen it myself from my own experience from churches in this situation, that they try to protect themselves by seeking favour with those who have power and influence in the community. But what James is saying is that when it comes to worship and the community of believers and the activities of the church, there is no place for that sort of favouritism. No comfy VIP chairs for one group and standing space or sitting on the floor for others, especially those who are most in need of support from others in the church. Over the summer, I read a book called Among the Believers. It's a book written 40 years or so ago now, which recounts the author's journey through four Muslim countries in Asia, talking to people there about their faith and the societies they live in. And one big theme that comes out in several places in the book is the contrast that those people saw between the countries and the societies around them, many of which were very hierarchical and unequal, where status is everything, with the contrast between that and their experience of going to the mosque. Because in the mosque, everyone is equal. They all wear the same, they do the same. And that's something that the Muslims that the author talked to valued about their faith. Is that the reality of the church? James, what James is saying here is that that is exactly how people ought to feel coming to church. Whatever your status, your position in society, you leave that at the door. And the sure sign of genuine faith is the way we treat our brothers and sisters in the church, and especially those who are most in need. James says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Now, in any church I've been in, there are some people who are more needy than others. And it's not always easy as a church to meet the needs of the people around us. Our resources are constrained and so is our time. But we should always be on the lookout for those needs. I was reflecting when I was preparing this talk of why it is that so many of the church communities I have been part of have had among them people with particular needs or challenges. And part of the reason, I'm sure, is that the church is a place where those people feel safer and more accepted than the world outside. But I wonder if there's another reason. You see, without people in the church community who are in need of support, social, emotional, physical, from others, how would a church community demonstrate the sort of faith that James is talking about here? You see, James is saying, if you want to see what a good Christian looks like, what a good Christian community looks like, look at how they treat the people who are weakest and most needy among them. If everyone in the church was the same, if they all fitted the same mould, they were all comfortable and had no need of support, how would a church do that? And the reason James says that we should be looking after the weakest and those the poorest and those most in need is because that's God's way. That's Jesus's way. He says in verse 5, has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom? Jesus himself said to his disciples, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? Great preaching? No. Keeping the law? No. By the love that you show for one another. So let me finish off with a slightly different question. What sort of Christian are you? Are you a good Christian? Now, I can think of three possible answers to that. Maybe you're trying your best to be a good follower of Christ, but you need to test that and challenge it. Well, if that's you, then you're welcome. That's what a church community is for, to live out your faith and test it in a community of people who might not all look or sound the same as you. Maybe you're not sure. You've got doubts or questions or things going on in your life that you know deep down are not right. Well, then you're even more welcome, because the church, when it comes down to it, isn't a group of people who are perfect. It's a group of sinners who found the person that offers forgiveness. Or maybe you're confident that you are that good Christian, that you do all the right things and have done all your life. Well, you're welcome too, but be careful, because James says God's yardstick is very high. So let God challenge you on where you are falling short of his standards, just as James challenged the people he was writing to here. But the important message to take away is this, that whatever your answer to that question, whether you think you're a good Christian or not, you are welcome at St. Nicholas. 5 years ago, this week, my family moved to Orpington. We didn't know anyone here. We rolled up at our local church at St. Nicholas, and we found two things. The first was a community, a strong sense of community. But more importantly for us at that stage, a community that made us feel very welcome. If you've been part of this community at St. Nicholas for years, then thank you, first of all, for making us so welcome and taking encouragement from the experience that we had. But let's not get complacent. We should always be asking ourselves, are we living out our faith in the way that James describes? Are we demonstrating our faith through our love as a community? And are we showing that love to the people that need it most within that community? Amen.